Studies have shown that young people in Maine have been exposed to some of the nation's highest rates of adverse childhood experiences, like drug abuse and violence at home. In schools, those experiences often lead to problems as students act out and are punished. Robbie Feinberg brings us the story of how one town in southern Maine is trying to change its approach to discipline and possibly change the community as well.
Vice Principal George Shabo is a commanding presence here at Loringer Memorial School in Old Orchard Beach. He's big with a booming voice, but he's not just barking orders. He actually yells out compliments as he walks through the hallway.
Yep. Love that hat.
Yeah.
On fire.
It wasn't always so here in Old Orchard Beach. The discipline policies at Loringer were once very traditional. If you did something bad, you got punished. But 3 years ago, the community realized this wasn't working. Students in this largely low-income transient town were getting in trouble.
Public intoxication, underage drinking, we have a lot of that. Substance abuse in public, that kind of stuff.
So the schools, the courts, and law enforcement gathered together to form a juvenile community review board, which decided to embrace something called restorative practices. The idea is to forego punishment in favor of making a connection.
We good? Can I have a thumbs up?
At Loringer Memorial School, awesome. These practices take the form of three levels of circles. This one in teacher Sarah Wilder's third grade classroom is a weekly community circle intended to help the class communicate. On this day, Wilder is leading a discussion with a student named Kasim about his experience as the classroom's line leader, meaning he has the responsibility of leading the class to and from the cafeteria. Kasim says the job has been a little hard because a lot of the students behind him talk. Wilder continues to prod. How does that make you feel, she asks.
Frustrated, angry, annoyed. It makes the line leader feel annoyed when people in line are talking behind them because they're not following the rules, right? So, Gassim, what do you want people to do differently next week?
Wilder says it can occasionally feel silly to ask students to pass around a talking stick and share feelings. It's almost like going back to preschool. But students say the circles, which are used in almost every classroom from third grade through eighth grade, feel like a safe space.
I would probably say I feel like good to express my feelings to other classmates.
This is seventh grader Alex Hodgkins.
And there's also this rule, what happens in the circle stays in the circle. So if you like want to like say something that you don't really want much people knowing, then that's a good rule.
And the communication at Loringer doesn't end here. When two students have a conflict, say, around bullying, they'll ask for a problem-solving circle, where they meet with school staff and talk through their problem. And if a kid does get into trouble, the school rarely will use an out-of-school suspension. Instead, it will put that student into a restorative room, where they talk about what they did and how they can make the situation right. Cynthia Robbins, the school's behavioral specialist, says the idea of all this is to give students a voice, so they can feel more engaged in school. She cites one case that happened last year in which an eighth grader kept falling asleep in class.
And what he reported to me is that in his home last night, he didn't have any heat. And so he didn't sleep. So by the time he got to school, got his breakfast here at school, because we feed the kids every morning, and was in a warm place and a safe, comfortable place, he was tired and could fall asleep. These kids are coming from really rough scenarios in their lives, and it's important to recognize that function of their behavior, why they're acting the way they're acting, stems from something.
Loringer isn't the first Maine school to embrace restorative practices. For more than a decade, professionals have been training teachers across Maine on the practices. One trainer estimates he's worked with at least 2,000 teachers. It's only recently, however, that schools such as Loringer have taken a school-wide approach. Loringer Vice Principal George Shabo says this mindset can't fix every problem, particularly more severe cases.
We're never there, in my mind. We always have to practice.
But the limited data show that the climate is improving. Detentions at Loringer went from about 32 years ago down to zero last year. And according to state data, the number of behavioral incidents at Loringer fell by almost 80% from 2011 to 2013. Behavioral specialist Cynthia Robbins says the positive effects could be felt beyond the classroom. She says students across Maine are exposed to drug abuse, alcoholism, and domestic violence at home from a young age. She sees restorative practices as a way to help stop that cycle.
Bad parenting creates more bad parenting, which creates more bad parenting, and over again. And I think overall in our society, we've seen that deterioration. And I'm hopeful that this kind of structure can help us with that. And I think people look more and more to the schools now to get that.
Other statewide experts say restorative practices can't be the only solution, but can play a role in helping to affect community change. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Robbie Feinberg.